Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
What was that show that was like a Days of Our Lives, but it was all freaky shit and there was a midget?
Was it called Chances?
Well, it might have been Chances.
Chances.
Or was Chances something else?
That wasn't...
Think it was Chances.
That was an Aussie show from the 80s.
Do you know how I know about that show?
Showed bum. Jeremy Sims, I think, was in it.
I know it because it was either Full Frontal or Fast Forward that would do a parody of it.
Mm-hmm.
Chances.
Funny.
I know Full Frontal. Yeah, I know.
Mm.
It wasn't Beaches. Let me just check. I can't let this go.
Couldn't have been Beaches.
No, it's got Bette Midler in it.
Mm. Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah, exactly. Ash, have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, I got five sisters, Leah. Mm-hmm. I have seen that movie.
Passion.
My search term for those interested was daytime TV show Midget Witch.
And it came back with an answer.
Straight away.
Fucking go Google.
Welcome to episode 9 of We Are The Watchers.
Hello.
Tom, you are looking swish today. Oh, we've shocked him.
Is that because he's wearing pants?
I'm wearing tracksuit pants. Let's not go crazy calling them pants.
Just.
Pants.
Just. You're only just wearing them.
Well, I like a low rider.
Well, you did bend over before to pick something up.
Got to show that badonkadonk.
It was quite a crack up.
If it's worth it, got to twerk it.
You know, I think Tom's ass might be broken.
Oh, really? Why?
Because it has a massive crack.
There we go. That was what we were looking for. No, Tom, I was merely pointing out your T-shirt because your T-shirt is reference... Well, your T-shirt is something that you were talking about episodes ago.
Yes.
It's called Powerline.
Powerline. It finally arrived. He's the musical performer from the Goofy movie from 1995 and it's a fictitious tour shirt, but it has a Sydney dates on the back.
Sydney's up next. It's Auckland, then Sydney, I think it said.
Generally the way to go.
How many times do you reckon you've seen that movie?
Oh, so many times. This is the movie I sat with a tape recorder next to the television so I could have the songs in my Walkman in the car.
You're so cool.
Yes, and I own it on VHS, DVD. I think there's a Blu-ray of it floating around somewhere, digital. I don't want to
Disney?
Be without it. It is, very
so
much so.
So it's Disney. So when Disney get their streaming service, do you reckon that'll appear?
Oh, 100%. And look, it could already be floating on Netflix or it was on Netflix and they've taken it off. Mm. But it stands up to multiple viewings. Mm. And it's from that 90s Disney when they were being a little bit edgy. Mm. Should have dad.
Were they busy space jamming?
It was the same era. Same era. It was a bit after Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
But it was kind of, that's peak edgy 90s cartoon Disney.
Am I right in thinking, Ash, you never saw Roger Rabbit?
I never saw Roger Rabbit. Nice. I saw tiny little specks of it.
How do you see specks of a movie?
Well, you know, you walk past the TV and it's playing on the above said TV.
You should watch that tonight. It is honestly, like, apart from being an amazing film, it's one of the most important films of that era.
I get certain levels of anxiety speaking with a lot of people about movies, like, because there's some movies apparently that you just need to see.
Yes.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is one.
Mm. Very much so.
Never seen it. Shawshank Redemption.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that. And people go, oh, well, you haven't seen Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption is a movie that's a favourite movie for people who don't watch much movies. I'll say it. Like, it's a good movie, but it's not the best movie ever.
No, and there's a few others out there, and I haven't seen them, and people judge me.
Have you seen the Godfather trilogy?
I have. I don't need to again.
Same. I had not seen it, and a friend went, "What? How have you not seen that movie? Lent me the three DVDs." Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was director's cut because the movies went for so long. I actually, can you not tell anybody this?
Sure, it's just between us.
Yeah.
I fast-forwarded some bits.
Wow.
I just couldn't. Jeez. I couldn't deal with it.
You turn it off audio at that point, don't you?
Yeah, but when somebody lends you a DVD, you kind of...
They're going to ask questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, but I guess it's also quite geographical as well. It all depends where you are on the planet as to what movies you should have seen. I mean, west of Burwood, you need to have seen Scarface or you're judged.
I wish I'd seen Scarface before I played GTA 3 because lot of music and stuff referenced in it. Or was that... No, Vice City, sorry.
Vice City.
Yeah, Vice City.
Good tunes. Yeah. A lot of 80s gear.
Hey, do you want to talk about TV shows?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, I watch Roger Rabbit and let's talk about it.
All right.
It's got Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
It's got every cartoon character that you grew up with, some from before your
every
time.
Every cartoon character?
Betty Boop is in there. Woody Woodpecker is in there.
Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse is Danger in the background. Mouse. Danger Mouse, I think, might have an appearance in the background. They go
get
to Toontown.
Get out.
They go to Toontown and it's filled.
They're all there.
Yeah, it's a Spielberg.
Not just the Warner Brothers ones.
It's Warner Brothers and Disney. They worked out a deal. So Donald Duck and, Mickey and Bugs are on screen together and have the exact same number of lines.
Whoa.
Daffy Duck have a piano duel battle where they have the exact same number of lines. Like, there was so much backroom stuff that they could never get away with it. So did you see Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
You know how that was cool, seeing all the different video game characters together? Imagine that, but much bigger budget with every cartoon character.
Okay.
It's awesome, dude.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry to derail, but...
No, not a derail at all. I was trying to think who voiced Jessica Rabbit. I think it was Kim Basinger?
No, it was the... Oh, what's her name? Catherine...
Hepburn.
No, not Hepburn. She was really, really hot, and then she's not.
Susie Perez?
No, as soon as I... Kathleen Turner, I think.
Kathleen Turner. She was so popular. The last thing I saw her in, she was playing Chandler Bing's dad in That's Friends.
It. Oh, right.
She has a husky voice
now. She does love a good husky voice.
Mm.
And speaking of husky voices, if you're wondering why I sound a little bit nasally, I'm getting over the man flu.
The summer cold's been going around, Sydney.
Oh, this was more than a cold.
Really?
Oh.
Yucky.
Floored me.
Gross. Mm. Who'd you pick it up from?
I do not know.
Not a child.
Not a child. Okay. Although they do tend to be a vortex of viruses and germs and stuff like that. But if I find them, I will kill them.
I'm struggling because there's been no make-out sessions with Ash this week. It's just been stay back. Because normally there's a little smooch on the cheek. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
We're European.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just a little bit scared that I may cough up an oyster at any time. So if that happens, just forgive me.
I'm not going to edit it out.
No, don't. Look, it could end up in your ears.
The people need to know.
They do.
Yeah, a bit of a pre-warning's fun. Now, as you were really keen to talk about TV shows, this makes me think you've been watching a lot of TV shows.
I wouldn't say lot, but enough.
Quality over quantity.
A lot of quality. And let's kick it off with X-Files, because it's back, and it's been back for a couple of weeks now.
Mulder and Scully.
Oh, yeah. And the magic's there.
This is the new, back?
No. This is the new one. So, obviously, look, I was a fan of The X-Files back in the day. I haven't revisited The X-Files.
I haven't either. I wonder how it holds up.
Good question. And they throw back to it quite a fair bit in the new reincarnation of it as well. There's a lot of old photos and old characters that are all coming back. But the way that they've done it now is it's modern. It's extremely well done. I was only 16 when it first aired back in 1993.
It was huge.
And it was huge. It was massive. And I think it's one of the longest running sci-fi shows ever on TV. And it's come back in a beautiful, beautiful form.
They've had a few movies over the years.
Yes, two films.
I've not seen them. I sort of bowed out probably season 4 or something like that, where it just started to get a little bit confusing as to what's going on. They weren't giving you enough answers. They were just giving you more and more questions. But if the new season doesn't rely on you having to go back and watch the beginning again...
Look, it kind of does, and Tom brought this up the other day. There was the smoking man that was back.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, well, the smoking man is back.
Oh, he is.
And we're face to face with the smoking man, and he plays a very, very big part in the new series. So they did, I think, a series 10, which was a test run of about 8 episodes, I think. And this is now the new season, season 11. Not sure how many episodes are going to be in this, but the test run obviously went really well. And season 11 kicks off with the smoking man, and each episode is following on from the next. It's quite a ride as well. Season 11, I've done the first 2 episodes, and I'm going to give it, given how good Scully looks, Triple X.
She's aged very well.
She gets 3 X's.
I saw. I watched The Fall, where she uses her English accent because she's actually got 2 accents. She's one of those people because I think she grew up in the UK.
Yep.
And then went over to America, maybe I can't remember, high school, uni, something like that, and picked up the American accent. But when she goes back and forth, she can switch and it's flawless. And she looked good.
She does. She looks amazing.
In the fall.
And I enjoyed her on American Gods as well.
I haven't seen that. What's that about?
She played the god of media. American God, all the gods of fables now live in America or live around the world and stuff like that. They don't have their same believers and followers. So media, technology, information, these are the new gods that have risen up.
Right.
So the old gods have to sort of band together in order to not be wiped out.
By the new gods?
Yeah. It's right. Neil Gaiman's story. It's really good.
Ooh. How long ago? What'd you say?
Earlier in 2017.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so pretty new.
It's very recent. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Brian Fuller directed, who... and showrunner. He's Hannibal and Pushing Daisies.
Right.
And amazingly visual shows that always get cancelled before their time.
Mm.
Typical. But Mulder and Scully's... what do you call it? They still got it?
They still got it. There's that on-screen magic. They're together now, I think. And they've got a kid that's been taken away. And we're starting to learn more about the kid.
Ooh.
But they don't push the relationship as such. There's a little bit of banter there. Just as an example, there's a great line there, which I'll just watch now, which is Scully says to Mulder, "Why is it that you're so nimble when you've got your hands behind your back and you're handcuffed?" And Mulder goes, "You know why." Right. We got
that's where they are. Yeah. That's where they are. Okay, so where are you watching it?
That's on Fox.
Oh, okay.
Foxtel.
Fox Mulder's on Foxtel.
He sure is.
Mm. Yeah.
It's done really
sense.
Well. It's amazing. It's an eye-opener. It's a bit of a roller coaster. It is nail-biting. It is modern. It is. There's more twists and turns than you could ever want in a sci-fi show.
So X-Files back again, nice and fresh.
Jump on it.
I will do that.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Speaking of things that have been jumped on, I've watched 4 episodes of Black Mirror. I've finally gotten around to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Talk Did you watch them that. In a block or one and then walk away and come back a
one
little
One walk
later?
Away, come yeah. back. You have to because yeah. their whole story's onto them. So each episode is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a different world, really, different universe that it works in. So good. The first episode I'd heard of before, I think if I can quote Groundhog Day, it's a doozy.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And what I love is that they give you these ideas and these storyline challenges that obviously would never happen in this world, but they're using human logic from this world to tackle the problems that are in this alternate universe. Really clever. So clever. And so many people have been talking about it. But Ash, there's only 3 episodes in the three or 4 episodes in the first season. Like,
that's
it's
not a
yeah,
season.
No, it was British. So the first 2 seasons were produced away from Netflix and there were 3 episodes each.
Yeah.
And they're largely all written by the same guy.
Right.
As they've progressed further and they're brought on by Netflix, I think they're now maybe 6 or 8.
Yeah, they look, they're a bit longer.
And they have different writers come in. So Penn Jillette, Penn from Penn and Teller, the tall, mouthy magician, he wrote a segment for the later season.
Well, it'd be... Yeah, it couldn't be Teller that would be writing it.
Well, he could write it.
A really
he
good
writer. I suppose
he could write it.
Yeah.
He does write a lot. Mm. He's quite a good writer.
Mm. Just doesn't say much.
So, Tom, how far into Black Mirror are you?
Look, I haven't caught too many of the latest ones. I did watch the Star Trek pastiche, which I won't spoil too much about. But
I did see it
very Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad.
And the Fargo season 2 Butcher is in it.
Jimmy Simpson.
I can't remember his name.
The Man in Black from Westworld.
Oh, geez, he's been in a lot of stuff.
He gets around.
Yeah, he certainly
he
does.
He's also a lot in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as one of the McPoyle twins.
He looks to me like he was a child actor.
He was.
Okay, there you go. He just had that look about him.
He does.
Definitely worth watching, Ash. And like Tom said, an hour long and you're done. Don't go on to the next.
You walk away because you'll be left in a funk. Many of them will leave you with an existential crisis wondering about how we've gotten to this point because it's a very prescient show. They come up with these ideas that seem fanciful and then 18 months later that product is available.
Give me an overview.
So in the first episode, we'll just talk about that. The first episode, someone who's meant to be Princess Kate basically gets kidnapped and a ransom message is put up on YouTube saying that the Prime Minister has to fuck a pig on live camera, streamed to the world, or they'll kill her.
Right.
And that happens. That is all told to you in the first 2 minutes of the show.
And this came out 4-5 years before it emerged that David Cameron had allegedly used a pig.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example. But then there's lots of stuff involving smartphone technology or things inserted in your eyes that can record your memories and you can play them back later. And so people cease living in the moment. They instead overlay their memories. So people having sex instead of just fantasizing about others are literally picturing and visualizing.
Rewatching themselves.
Rewatching, right. Yes.
Mm. Okay.
And it's all this stuff that seems like it's not science fiction. It's just sort of more close science fact.
It's funny that you say that, and the storyline that you've just given is very, there's similarities there with the first couple of episodes of The X-Files.
Oh, really?
For season 11. It gets very Matrix-esque.
Yeah, right.
And there's similar things with technology and smartphones and memories and things of that nature. Funny that you mentioned that. I'm probably going to have to jump on and watch
you
it.
You should. There's another really great episode where a joke cartoon character is put forward to be the potential president.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins despite his best efforts to undermine his position and make fun of the office and stuff. The people decide that they'd rather mess with the system and put this guy in place.
Right.
Yeah, this is the thing. You watch it at the time, you're like, wow, this is messed up. But then if you go back and rewatch any of them, you're like, this is crystal ball shit.
Yeah.
They're predicting the future quite regularly.
Okay.
And it's from one of my favorite writers, a guy named Charlie Brooker, who I think I've mentioned
You've mentioned him before.
He did a show called Dead Set, which was Big Brother during the zombie apocalypse.
Yep.
And he's a great columnist. He usually does a thing called Screen Wipe, which is a year summary. I mentioned that he wasn't, like, last year's one was cancelled because he was too focused on Black Mirror.
Right.
Mm. So I'll accept that.
Yeah.
We'll check it out.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Now, Tom, what if you, firstly, did you get the internet back at home?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. So I've been catching up on some trash. In fact, I got a little segment.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's slip into something comfortable because it's time to stay up late with Tom.
I like it.
So basically, I want to talk a little bit about the state of late night television.
Mm.
Because I grew up watching a lot of it. I especially loved Conan O'Brien back before he, you know, had the whole thing with the Today Show and shifting around and stuff like that. Mm. But I grew up with a lot of his stuff. But this week, I know, Ash, you watched as well. Yep. Letterman finally got a new show on Netflix, and I adored it.
He's got a really fluffy beard.
Yes. Yeah. So he's gone mountain man.
Yeah.
But I adored this show so much because one of my favorite things in the world, as a former film critic and interviewer of people in said films, is a long format interview. And this was just a pure hour sitting down having a chat with Obama on stage. No cue cards, no auto cue.
Was there an audience?
Yes.
Okay.
Student audience. Mm-hmm. It was filmed at a college. And it was just a very casual chat about moving on from the biggest thing that's happened in your life and will happen in your life. How do you deal with not so much remorse, but, you know, that feeling of emptiness that situation would inevitably leave you with. It was brilliant.
Because I guess both of them have experienced that. I mean, obviously Obama leaving, being the president, but David Letterman as well, giving up his show.
Fired.
Was he really?
Yeah. Obama makes that joke.
Yeah. He was ready though. Letterman was his time had so come. Ready and he'd been doing it for so long. And the thing that I've always enjoyed about Letterman as an interviewer, he started as a weatherman.
Yes.
And then a stand-up comedian and then got the gig on TV. But his interview skills are up there, maybe even surpass someone like Michael Parkinson.
Yeah, or a Charlie Rose.
He's absolutely phenomenal. And I remember I first gained a lot of respect for Letterman as almost as a journalist, I guess, or as someone that can interview, when he was interviewing the guy that actually got his arm stuck between the two boulders out in the desert and they made the movie 48 Hours about. He interviewed this guy, but the way that he interviewed him, he took you and the audience to between those two boulders and the arm being stuck, and he kept everyone there for about half an hour while he chatted to this guy, and it was phenomenal. And he mirrored that again with Obama.
Well, that's it. You could see how liberating it was for him not to have to hold those stupid blue cards, those cards that he'd throw around, or no top 10 list, no band, nothing. Yeah. Mm. It was just literally two clearly close friends.
Having a chat.
Yeah. So that was fantastic. And it kind of made me think, I've been reading a lot about this phenomenon called clapter. Now, I don't know if you've heard of clapter.
I don't know what that is. No, what is it?
I had to clap once.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, I loved watching Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And my enjoyment of that has decreased. And it's the same with a lot of these shows.
Why do you think?
So clapter basically is the idea of people that clap rather than laughing when a comedian makes a political stance or makes a political joke that they agree with.
Okay. I see.
So it's a really cheap, easy way to get the audience on side without actually telling a joke, without being funny. Mm. So it's how rubbish is our president. That's the sort of thing that gets a clap from the audience and stuff. It's just agreement.
Mm.
And a lot of late night, because they have to deal so much with what's going on in the political climate, a lot of us shifted to that. And I just don't enjoy that nearly as much. It's clapter. Not funny. Clapter. So I've been looking at other realms of how people are playing with the late night format. Now, Ash, I know you're a fan of Chelsea Handler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great. Sure am.
Yeah, so
yeah.
She's doing some great things with the format over on Netflix.
Yeah. Freedom is probably the best way that you could probably describe what she's doing, and she's having a lot of fun with that freedom. There's no TV execs obviously knocking on the door saying, hey, no, you cannot get stoned and have a spelling bee on TV. How dare you? And she's like, fuck you, and I'll swear at the same time.
And she also only has to interview who she wants.
Exactly, and I'm going to make people spell the C-bomb. But to see someone just be able to be free, and I guess it's like the podcasting format as well. Mm. You just be able to do whatever you want.
Well, similarly, I've been loving, there's a late night show on Vice called the Untitled Action Bronson Show. Now, Action Bronson is a Jewish Armenian American rapper.
Right.
He's a massive dude who's a chef for years and then got into hip hop and rapping and this sort of stuff. So he has a late night show that's basically in looks almost like a storage container type thing that they've converted into a kitchen. He has a band play outside in the parking lot, like normally a death metal band or someone really different to hip hop, but he gets hip hop in. And then he has a celebrity come on. So the last episode I watched, Luis Guzman was the guest, and they had a chef from Western Australia come across and cook kangaroo wrapped in bark.
Oh, no way.
Traditional Australian ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Bush tucker.
Yeah, yeah. Proper bush tucker. And it was just the loosest thing, you know, drinking, smoking, whatever.
Yep.
Talking with them, house jazz band and stuff like that, but they're just tucked in the corner. There's no format. It's amazing, an amazing watch. Like, it does depend on the personalities of who's on the show and stuff like that, whether things gel.
Mm.
But I kind of really enjoy the haphazard nature of it because it's just fly by the seat of the pants. Like, he's on screen and he just yells out, hey, what's the name of the person coming up later? And then someone will yell it back to him. He's like, cool, that's who we got coming.
Yeah.
It's just that
nice
loose.
And relaxed, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying that. The next step, and one of my ultimate guilty pleasures, is a show called The Eric Andre Show, which I don't know if I've ever pushed on either of you.
I think I've heard
of it. It's on Comedy Central, and it's the worst host you've ever seen. It's meant to be like bad public access television, and he destroys the set every single episode, harasses the guests.
Amazing.
Like, we'll put a bowl of rotten prawns under their chair and a heater above them so it just stinks and they don't know what's going on. If you're looking to try some different late night stuff, here there's just a couple of recommendations.
Yeah, no, and it'd be a fresh take, I think, to take away, well, just to try something different as opposed to what's on the moment on free to air TV in Australia. Which, and I've got to say, there's James Corbin.
The guy in the car, Corbin, karaoke.
Yeah, he does carpool karaoke. I can't get into that guy. I cannot get into the show. He just feels like he oversells himself.
He's very positive. Sycophantically so.
Yeah, exactly. But then you go to a complete contrast to that, which is Stephen Colbert. Whether you like the president or not, that guy just takes it to the next level. And I cannot. It's like there is this ingrained hate in him for the president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he wants to exude on that show. And representing the network and all the rest of it. I don't know. I'm a little bit old school. That's the leader of your country. Make a joke, but I think he's just going a little bit too far. It's sure, like he hates
Trump.
He does, and he's the top-rated late-night show, so it's working. And that's why all the rest are following and going in that Clapton model. Yeah. He's at least... He's got years of political humour background to fall on, so he stuff at least lands most of the time. It's not just a simple joke.
Mm, mm. Oh, he's extremely intelligent. Extremely intelligent. You can see that. I can't get into it.
It's very bashy.
Very bashy. And it's not, I don't think it's suited for an Australian audience either. They're very much not Aussie type comedy. And I guess it's also because it's an overseas sort of subject as well. But those two late night gigs, they sound good.
Yeah, look, the last one I'll throw in there is a show called The Gorberger Show. And it's hosted by an alien who's come and invaded a Japanese talk show, game show. And
didn't think that was going to be a sentence.
No, killed the host and taken over. It's my show now! So it's a giant man in a suit. Type thing.
It's everything you want.
Yeah. And he's voiced by TJ Miller, who you might know from Silicon Valley and a couple of different shows. It's one of the weirdest things out there.
Do you know what this is all telling me?
What's that? I stay up way too late.
Well, apart from that, but the late night talk shows, I've talked about you two, sick of the structure.
Mm-hmm. Predictability.
Yeah. And this freshness that these other shows are bringing you is perhaps something that these mainstream programs should perhaps be looking at.
I think it's an absolute necessity, because if you go back in the day, you had The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. That was really the only late night show. And then the other networks eventually got their own, but there were still the main key networks. So four, maybe five different late night shows. With the advent of cable and Comedy Central and you know, your Fox News and all the 24-hour channels, they got theirs going, and it just became so crowded that the voices homogenized and it's very difficult to stand out on the major networks. So there's people really playing with the format and trying something different rather than doing the same format that's worked for 50 years since Johnny Carson started.
Yeah. How do you think we'd go here in Australia with the late night talk show? We've had a few.
Yep.
One in particular, which was hugely successful by one of our greatest entertainers ever, Graham Kennedy, and there was different iterations of that.
You had Steve Izard being David Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Which was a complete rip-off.
Yeah, it was.
Complete rip-off.
And then
it was good. And Jennifer Kite reading the news.
You had Rove.
You had Rove.
Have a couple of shows.
Yeah.
And McAuliffe has always been my personal favourite because I adore his sensibility.
Mm.
He is the straight man who still jokes, which is a very unique mix in that sort of show.
Mm. But he's not liked much by the networks. I mean, he does well with he's got Mad as Hell on ABC at the moment. As soon as he goes over to the major networks, they're like,
talking about your generation.
Yeah, there was that.
This is the thing. When he's away from the late night format, he's a massive hit for the networks.
Yeah.
It's just that's not where his passions lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think we need one, Australia.
Do you want to be the host?
You could
be the host.
I'll do it. I've got a great little idea that we're going to talk about later on.
I think we just don't bother with trying to get it on television and live stream.
And live stream it, absolutely. That way
we can do the Chelsea Handler model. We can do whatever we want.
Stoned Spelling Bee?
Or something similar. Maybe. I don't know. I'll read the weather while sitting in a kiddie pool full of baked beans.
I would
Sounds
watch.
Like fun.
Do you know what? Speaking of baked beans, I met an Italian guy today, who said his guilty pleasure, he's got two of them.
Do we want to hear this?
It's hilarious. Instant coffee. He gets judged every time he drinks instant coffee at work because they go, "You're Italian. What are you doing drinking instant coffee?" And I'm not even joking.
He turns around and goes, "Mamma mia."
He eats spaghetti in a can. He says, "I like the one with extra cheese in it." I'm like, "What?"
He's not Italian.
What?
I like that you said that all the bits when it was him talking with your hands going.
I was with my hands.
That's how you speak Italian.
All of the hands. Yeah, guilty pleasures. I should ask him what his guilty television shows are. Mm. I had a guilty pleasure.
Ask him what's bene, molto bene.
What it means?
No, but what does he think's molto bene?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Si.
Andiamo.
Bene. Simpatico.
Let's go.
Right.
I had a late night guilty pleasure that I used to watch. This is years ago, and I'd only remembered it a couple of weeks ago, and I looked it up on Google. Mm. It was called At Home on the Range, I think it was called. Ooh. And it was this late night cooking show. Mm. It had this really happy, bubbly lady who was hosting it, and this sort of grumpy old man who was the cook, and he would cook almost the exact same meal each time, and it was in his garage. And the audience, because there was an audience on the cooking show, had to sit on those, you know, those plastic outside chairs? Yeah, those. And they had to applaud every now and then. And he'd go, and now for the salt. And he just put so much salt in. And you go, oh, this man's crazy. Like, it's really nice that she's allowing him to have a show. And she's obviously the producer and whatnot. I looked it up, right? This guy was actually a multimillionaire. Mm. And he had retired. And this is just what he wanted to do for fun.
Awesome.
So he set up a whole television studio in his garage just because he wanted to.
And he's quite heavy-handed with the salt.
Yeah, well, was. He's no longer with us, I found out, unfortunately.
But is he as heavy-handed as Jamie Oliver? Because he's quite heavy-handed.
Oh, no, this
salt.
Guy was next level.
Oh, really?
This guy was next level.
Wow.
Yeah, look him up because you can find the episodes and you just see how Access Television is. It's community television. Yeah. It's super good bad.
Wow.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Hey, you know what's cool about today or this week?
What?
Basically, all the shows that paused over Christmas are coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Over this week. So we got Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends, all the superhero shows are back.
Mm-hmm.
One that I definitely want to plug that's starting in a couple of days called Drunk History. I don't know if you've ever caught that before.
I've heard of it.
They get comedians, get them insanely drunk and have them recreate a story from history.
Okay.
And then using the recreate it with big name actors. Right. And period piece setting and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Okay.
So that, I think it's back maybe Saturday or something like that, Comedy Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth your time.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
How do you find The Good Place now that we're getting dribs and drabs and week by week?
I still get through iTunes because I paid for the season pass, so it automatically downloads. However, it for some reason didn't appear for a few days this week, so I watched on Netflix.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, but just that wait now because we were able to binge the first couple of seasons.
I binged.
Yeah, and loved it.
Yeah.
But just that getting 20-minute little bite-sized pieces and then having to wait a whole week. It's killing me.
I don't binge much. I'm not, like, I know we talked about binging in a previous episode and stuff like that. I'm not a binger. I'd rather, I jump around. I don't have the attention to stick with one show for a long time.
Oh, we know that.
And I'd rather watch things live each week.
That's why this podcast is only 35 minutes
that's
long.
That's right, he has to go.
Well, look, I worked on Lost for years. That's trained me to be, to enjoy that wait, to allow me to think about it, disassemble it, really.
And have that water cooler moment, I guess, as well as a big thing, which is what having a podcast is as well.
Yeah.
And that's, I prefer to just get in there and get it all happening and shake it off and be done.
Sure. Well, did you watch this week's Good Place?
I did.
Okay, so fucking hell. reboot again.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, total reboot.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
They literally closed it down.
Yeah. Mm. They're going to... This plan is not going to work out well.
No.
I don't know what they're going to make it look like, but it reminds me of Dante's Inferno, where Dante has walked through hell as a mortal.
I think it's just going to be the most mundane thing ever because every bit we've seen of hell so far has been like a bad accountant firm. So I'm just worried that it's going to be that sort of thing with torture pockets around.
I love that lava guy that we saw a few times. I hope he's down there.
He will be. They'll have more characters like that, I think, pop up. I have to give a shout out to Jason, who once again got line of the week for me when he was like, man, I bet hell is like at a Skrillex concert and you're just waiting for the beat to drop.
And the bass will drop.
Never comes.
Yeah. That was good. And he delivered it really well.
I was crying with laughter. Like, oh, had to pause.
We got Bad Janet as well again. She was good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Poke in the neck.
Yeah, poke in the neck and she was sorted out. I finished Broad City. Now I have to wait till they start that all again. That's an easy one to binge.
Sure.
Because there's there is a sort of a storyline each episode, but it's more jokes. Loose. It's really loose, really super loose. But definitely binge worthy. Ash, what else did you end up watching?
Tom Segura. Tom Segura.
What is that?
That is a stand-up comedian. He's on Netflix. He's got three little shows.
Where's
that have been
from?
Up there. He's got a Spanish mother, I believe, and that's where he gets his surname from. But he's as dinky-dye, Yankee-doodle dandy as they come. Does that make sense? Probably not.
A little bit.
He's American with Spanish heritage, I believe, and hence the surname. There is no accent. He speaks quite well. Funny guy. Funny outlook
really
on life. Yeah, and there was the first one that I watched on Netflix, which was called Mostly Stories. Very funny. And he's backed this up with another one, which has just dropped on Netflix, called Disgraceful. And it is absolutely disgraceful. There's another episode, which is him early years, which I haven't watched yet, one of his shows. But funny guy. Laugh out loud. You'll have tears falling down the side of your face if you're not easily offended.
I'm happy with that.
He walks the line.
Okay.
As most good comedians do.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Very good. Very funny. Check it out. Tom Segura, Disgraceful.
Tom Segura.
Mm. Hey, speaking of tears, I saw Coco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why were you crying?
It's fantastic, but because every person in the cinema was crying, every adult.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to spoil anything. Just go in pure. The trailers show that maybe the first 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can predict the story turns and twists. Beautiful film.
Apparently
Pixar
it's amazing.
Again.
Apparently it's amazing.
It's about Mexican Day of the Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the less you know, the better.
Okay.
But did you see Up?
Yeah.
With the balloon house? Do you remember the first 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Did you have a cry at that?
Yeah, it was pretty
intense. This is a whole film of that.
Right.
And it's amazing. Like, I took my daughter on Saturday. We had a double movie date.
Yeah.
So first we saw Ferdinand, which is the John Cena as a bull.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep,
and
yep.
And it is way, way better than I was expecting.
Serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some great casting.
Kids
in there.
Love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's set in Spain with a lot of Spanish music and some Spanish talking. And then we saw Coco straight after, which was set in Mexico and has a lot of Spanish music. So it was a very Spanish day. But Ferdinand dealt with a lot of themes about self-sacrifice and what you're prepared to give up in order to help others.
Mm.
And then Coco bookended that beautifully with respect, teaching children to respect the sacrifice of those who came before in order for them to have freedom. So the two of them, I was left in quite an existential funk.
And then you went and watched a Black Mirror episode.
No, I just watched.
Couldn't do it to yourself.
I watched Jurassic Fight Club, which is bad CGI recreations of potential dinosaur fights.
That sounded like exactly what you would need.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, I heard a bit of an update about, as you were talking about X-Files coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We know Roseanne's coming back.
Mm.
This was an interesting little tidbit I heard. The character Roseanne will be written as a Trump supporter. Now, when I think back on the old episode to Roseanne, I'm not sure I can see her as a Trump supporter.
She's Midwest.
Yeah, you got to understand that most of the people that would be fans of that show now from back there are probably Trump supporters because she was portraying that
grassroots.
Blue class potential hero moving up.
Yeah.
So I think it's befitting of the times.
They lived on Struggle Street.
They did.
And they depicted
constantly.
That in the show, that things were tight, money was tight, and they only had the sort of basics, I guess, in life. There was no real holidays, although I do believe they hit the road once or twice towards the end.
Yeah, they did a couple of RVs. They also won the lottery.
Which was a dream.
Yeah.
The last season was a dream.
That.
So they could potentially pull that move again of her being a Trump supporter and saying some outrageous things, and then it was all a dream.
I am interested to see what it's going to turn out like, because I have watched the first few seasons of Roseanne the past few years, and it's very good.
Who's playing Becky?
Both.
They have both of them.
Both of them are back.
I don't know how they're going to do it.
At the same time?
Maybe anytime she looks in a mirror, the other one's there.
They have appeared on screen together.
Yeah, have they?
Yeah, sort of. I if memory serves, it was during the credits bit. What are you doing here?
Oh,
that
right.
Sort of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. very funny.
They're bringing back The Office as well.
English or American?
American. No, the English one is done and done.
Yeah, I hope so.
Now, look, NBC has seen the success that bringing back Will and Grace brought them, and so they want to bring back some of their bigger shows. And I've rewatched some of The Office lately, and it is not politically correct anymore, even though it's, what, 10 years or something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that the current social political climate around workplace harassment, Michael Scott, like he's not a good person at all.
Ah. No, and that's the whole idea of it.
I know. But in the English version, David Brent was a scumbag and we were meant to hate him.
But he was never sexually creepy, though.
And he got a moment of redemption at the end where, because of the nature of a sitcom, they had to make Michael Scott, the American boss, far more likable despite doing despicable things. So he comes across as a buffoon or someone who's just complicit and gets away with things. And even more creepy is Jim, who, when we watched, he's the guy that always looks at the camera and he's the audience surrogate of like, I can't believe this is going on. Now he's just the silent observer and he's almost like complicit because he's just not saying anything.
Wow.
He's seeing the bad shit. Yeah, that's just my hot take.
Wow.
And
it's not even that old.
No, it's just in terms of workplace behaviour, that's so much of that stuff doesn't fly.
Well, it should be updated. I guess it will be updated to suit the current times.
I hope so.
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure in a couple of years' time we'll be complaining about the fact that they're bringing back old shows and they've got no new ideas.
Why do you think that is? We're rehashing a lot of old stuff. Is it just that we've run out of ideas?
We ran out of ideas hundreds of years ago. There's only really two stories.
On TV?
No, there's only two stories.
But there's
two stories. There's the man, a stranger came to town, or a man sets out on a journey. Those are the only two stories in existence. Everything boils down to those two things.
And we've seen remakes and rehashes in the world of movies, but not TV.
What TV shows shouldn't they bring back?
Oh, you should let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
On Facebook.
Throw in your top picks, because I'm sure everyone's going to have some opinions on that.
All right, let's get the ball rolling here. I'm going to say Knight Rider. Is one that shouldn't,
Young talent time.
What, with the original cast or?
Just have the original cast show up and start singing, close your eyes.
And I'll miss you. Come on, Johnny.
Golden Girls.
Well, thank you.
You're not going to get that chemistry back.
That'd be more like Weekend at Bernie's, wouldn't it?
Well, that's just the original cast. If we're talking reboots, I don't need a new version of Golden Girls.
No,
it still feels fresh when you watch it, though.
Exactly.
Those jokes are super sassy.
Yeah, they are.
I'd also throw in Biker Mice from Mars, which...
That was all right.
It was, but it was a product of its time.
Mm.
You couldn't bring out, but I don't want to say a gritty version of that, nor Street Sharks or Dino Sources or any of the spin-offs of people that were looking at how well Ninja Turtles were doing and thought, we'll cash in on that.
Yeah. We're going to go for that. I do not want the goodies remade.
Oh, that's
with
a
new
very
or
good
or the original. Don't want it.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Don't touch it, Benny Hill. Don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Get Benny Hill in.
Stop. We can't afford it.
No, we really can't. I think that's going to do it for us
this week. Well, that's done it for me.
Whoa.
Do it.
You can do it. Read my lips. Ash, thank you.
What song was that?
That was Melissa Tkaul.
Oh, it was Tkaults.
Tkaults.
Ouch.
I don't know where it came from in my head, but it did.
Holy, well, it rung my bell.
Thanks, Colette.
Thanks, Leah.
This is one for my juggalos.